Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Got some nice notes from people enjoying Logan here in person last week. She's not here in person. She's back to recorded today back in Arizona, but may get her to call in from time to time. Welcome, everyone, and I hope you had as nice a morning. It looks like it's clouded over a little bit here, but driving over this morning, the weather is just beautiful. The sky, the clouds are scattered all over the place, and had some nice color, and it was a little foggy here and there, but bright sunshine is really pretty, so I hope you had some nice weather to wake up to. If not, it looks like it'll be changing and improving during the day, at least here in this part of the world. People are already calling in, so jump on here anytime you want to. The telephone number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. I went back to my favorite tea recipe this morning. It is the ginger OSHA root, OSHA root or bear root, yerba mate, and honey. Just a little bit of honey, only about a teaspoon. I think that's a nice nice recipe. I like that one a lot. The SPCA report for you. We got a good-looking dog again. Harriet, 3.5-year-old female Anatolian Shepherd mix. She's really pretty. So check her out on our website on dirtdoctor.com under the SPCA button. She's at the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center in Dallas, and from now through April the 30th, what is the date we're at now? We're already past that, so never mind on that, I guess. That may still be the case where the adoption rates are free. Check it out. They may have gone back to the regular price. We'll check that out as well. You still have to make an appointment to adopt a dog, and this one would definitely be worth looking at. She's really, really pretty. 3.5-year-old. Let's see how big she is. It doesn't say. Looks like she's a kind of a medium-sized gal, so check it out. We go to SPCA.org/dog adopt and start the process to be able to go see her at the SPCA. Let's see. And I got a couple of stories for you today. We'll work them in as we go. If you've got questions and can't get in during the show, remember that you can always send us something at info@dirtdoctor.com. You can go through the Ask Howard feature on dirtdoctor.com. And if you're interested in learning more about my books, my art, I've finished a couple of new pieces, worked on a couple of new things yesterday. I finished some I've been working on for a long time, as a matter of fact. But my art, which is basically on recycled material, and recycled paints and various kinds of things like that. The whole catalog is under that red button at the top of the page. You just click on it, and you can see the specs on the art and how much they cost and all that. The books, the art, the online class, all that stuff is sold through TORC, the nonprofit Texas Organic Research Center. And that means there's no tax, and it's tax deductible, and you help support the mission of the Texas Organic Research Center, and we appreciate the help there for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got people calling in so early. Let me just help a couple of people, and then I'll go back to my stuff. George, very early this morning in San Antonio. What can I do for you, George?
Hi, good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I do want to say that I've gotten just about every book that I could possibly get my hands on from the library, and I'm really enjoying going through your books.
Well, good.
And I've got a couple questions. Number one, I've been having an issue with with really large oak trees that I have, that a couple of them are, the root systems are going into, one is going into my driveway and lifting it, and the other one is going through a sidewalk I have in the backyard and lifting that. And I'm wondering, would I damage the tree too much if I cut the roots that are going into the concrete?
You don't do much more damage cutting a root off that's a 4-inch root, for example, than cutting a 4-inch limb out of the top of the tree. So it's all about quantity of how much root system you cut away. You see what I mean? So if you do it kind of carefully and prune it, prune the root away just like you do one of the limbs in the canopy of the tree, you won't do that much damage. It's probably not the best time of the year for you to do it right now. I'd do one or two things. I'd wait until the middle of summer, the heat of summer, and it might not even be the best if there's any freeze damage to your tree. And we're going to, of course, have to talk about that a little more. It's still kind of important subject for everybody or for a lot of people out there. It would maybe the best thing to do, wait all the way till fall to do the work.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay.
And so having said if I cut them out, do I need to take the same precautions as I would a branch in the air? Do I need to seal it as well, or?
Well, I'm in the camp of not sealing cuts very much, but if you're doing a root, you know, you're going to be covering that area back up with soil anyway. I don't think covering the cut there, even if you're worried about oak wilt and some of the things that people worry about making cuts in the spring and all, especially, I don't think you have to worry about it doing the root pruning really at all.
Okay. And so one more, if I may. I've been having an issue with what looks like a June beetle, like the tiny little beetles, and they look like baby ones. But I go out in the middle of the night, and I've been noticing them at persimmon and Mexican plum tree, and I forget my other tree, but the leaves are peppered, aggressively getting worse, and that they're getting chewed up. And I noticed this little beetle at night, like, and they're covered with them. And so I can only assume that these are the ones that are eating them up. And I'm wondering, how can I get rid of those beetles?
Well, tell me a little bit more about the little beetle. What size is it and what color is it?
Oh, it's maybe a quarter of an inch. And they're
real small.
Little, and they're about maybe, a quarter of an inch. And they're, like, slightly brown. They look like a June beetle, but they're not quite that size.
Okay.
And then there's another little tiny black beetle that's even smaller. And I see them on the leaves, underneath the leaves, and I'm just kind of flicking them off because that's the only thing that I see on the plants. I see them on both plants, and they both have the same symptoms as far as the leaves being chewed up.
I want you to do, go to my website, or if you've got one, still my insect book, both will have an entry on a little beetle called a flea beetle. And flea beetles come in several different sizes and colors, and they're pretty persistent little boogers. And I would recommend spraying them with either a spinosad product, that's the active ingredient, or even better still, the I think it's Nature's Guard product. It's a Fertilon product called spinosad soap. It's a combination of insecticidal soap and spinosad, and it really works well on those hard-to-kill beetles like that. The spotted cucumber beetle, you know, in the vegetable garden would be in the same category. So spinosad soap would be my best advice.
And would that take care of the pill bugs as well?
It will. It'll help with those. There's also with pill bugs, you can do the hot pepper and cedar flakes in the area where they're working, and it works really well even long term. So you could do a combination of the two there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so much. All right.
I appreciate the call. Thanks for being our leadoff hitter. Angie and Forney is next up. We'll talk to you as well. What's up?
Good morning. A couple questions. One is, I have an area, it's on the side of my home, where my backyard, it kind of drains, it's about five to eight feet. And the whole backyard kind of drains through that to the front yard.
Okay.
And I've created a flower bed with a Eagleston holly in there.
Okay.
And my perennials are looking great. The Eagleston holly's been in there for about 4 years, and it just doesn't seem to be doing well. So I'm assuming it's probably too wet. So is there an evergreen tree? Because I'm trying to screen the house.
Angie, I'm going to have to put you on hold. I may chat with you off the air. Hang on, okay? I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be back with you right after this. Howard Garrett from my friends at Ulrich Barnes and their terrific line of sheds and cabin shells. Perfect for your backyard office. They'll deliver you a sturdy shell, and all you have to do is finish it out. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the many happy customers that have given Ulrich Barnes five-star reviews. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433, or visit myperfectshed.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus and West Nile virus, but Summit Mosquito Dunks kills mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. For more information, go to SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically. When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefit to the rose is squandered. Rose hip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as Pure Grow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tree treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Hi, this is Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, for my friends at Bang Solar, the only company I recommend to go solar. Now that the economy is getting back on track, it's about time we talk more about how solar can benefit you. Here's Adam Foley, president of Bang Solar.
Thanks, Howard. We've had a great year over at Bang Solar, and we want to continue with our solar stimulus program. We want to put money back in your pocket, so that's why we're offering you another stimulus check on us. We are going to continue to keep our price at $310 a watt, and we are going to reward more of our customers. We have had such great people continue to support us through the past year, and it's been difficult. People stuck with us, believed in Bang Solar, and even our mission. So to give back to our community, we're going to give the next 100 customers their own solar stimulus of $1,200.
Wow. Listeners, you heard it first. Bang Solar is giving out their own solar stimulus worth $1,200 to the next 100 customers. Thanks, Adam. Call our friends at Bang Solar today at 469-283-5992.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. A telephone number to be with me on the show here is 866-444-3478. To get caught up on a few things, the mystery photo is up. It is one that is an unusual plant to a degree. I've talked about it on the air here. It is a shot of one of that plant that I have. And has done very well. So if you want to be the winner of identifying the mystery photo and win one of our online courses, the 15-chapter online course, you can call the show, tell David. David running things in there today, as usual. Or you can send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. A lot of people, in fact, the last several shows, people have identified the mystery photo on Instagram, so you can do that as well. We are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We put all the other things on all the social media, so if you didn't know that and haven't checked on what we do there, do some fun stuff. Maggie taking care of all that stuff for us for the most part, but if you haven't checked it out, please do. Let's see, what else did I not catch up? Oh, I talked to Angie off the air a minute ago on something that more of you may be interested in. She had a situation that was staying a little wet, drainage wasn't as good as it should be, and a holly was alive but not growing as well, and she wanted to know something that would grow better. One of the plants, it's not an evergreen, it is a deciduous plant, but it's one that is really, really cool. I don't talk about it maybe as much as I should. It'll grow across a wide range of the country, hardiness zone somewhere in the 5 to 9 range, you know, which covers a lot. But it's a deciduous plant. Some people, you know, want evergreens, but it has foliage on it for a very long period of time in the growing season. And it's called buttonbush. And buttonbush is a bog plant. It'll grow in wet soil. It'll grow almost underwater, but it also adapts to a completely normal moisture level situation. In fact, I've got one, and it got too big for where it is. I've actually cut it back, and I was going to take it out and plant one somewhere else, but it's feathering back up from the ground so pretty. I'm kind of reluctant to do it right now. But it's called buttonbush, and it has big, beautiful foliage, leaves, and it has very distinctive white flowers. It looks like a kind of a heavy version of dandelion flowers, and almost look like a space module or something. Really pretty, but and they're also very, very fragrant. So check out Buttonbush wherever you are out there. It's Cephalanthus is the genus, Cephalanthus occidentalis, and it'd be one for you to take a look at for sure. Let me tell you a quick story about trees. As you know, we talk about trees a lot here, and we've been concerned about trees because of the freeze damage and the fact that so many trees are planted improperly and so many trees are managed in a silly way with toxic chemicals and heavy-duty, high-nitrogen fertilizers and things like that, things that trees just not only don't need, but they just don't react very well to them. But one of the listeners sent me a letter, and I hope she's – I think it was she. I'm pretty sure it was. Hope she's listening. I haven't answered her letter yet. I'll try to as quickly as I can. So if she's listening today, she'll recognize the story because it's hers. But she sent me pictures of a newly planted – tree. I think it was an oak, but it doesn't matter. It's the same planting issues no matter what the situation, no matter what we're talking about. But she wanted to, she told me the story about the company that planted the tree being a big local, Dallas-Fort Worth local tree planting company, planted it and said it developed some insect problems. And she talked to the company that planted it, and they recommended a Bayer granulated insecticide, which, of course, you know, if you've listened to me for 10 seconds, I don't recommend those kind of things, and it's addressing the wrong thing, which you could see instantly, and she was really smart, and this is the reason I want to tell this story is that everybody ought to do the same thing she did. When you send me pictures of a plant that's in trouble, make sure to send a picture of the overall canopy and then close-ups of the damage. But the most important thing to send me is a good, clear picture, a couple of different angles of it, of the base, of the trunk going in the ground. Well, guess what? This isn't going to surprise you. Trunk coming out of the ground like a telephone pole, straight as it can be, probably buried 12 to 14, 15 inches deep. The tree is staked with rigid staking and guying like I don't recommend also. And it is so bad that there's already hypoxylin canker showing on the base of the tree. What does that mean? Well, it's that dark gray or black stuff you see that's kind of back behind the bark, and it starts showing more and more. When you start seeing a hypoxylin canker, you know your tree's in real trouble. It's not a cause of trouble. It is a result of the tree being in super-duper stress, and it's kind of the final thing. It is fungal, and it's the final thing that pushes the tree over the edge and kills it. So hopefully she's listening, and I'll get the written thing back to her as quickly as I can, but the solution is to get the flare uncovered and do the rest of the sick tree treatment, get the guy wires staking off the tree, and make sure that you do the organic fertilizing and techniques from this point forward. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. More on that and other issues right after this.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of DirtDoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
With the changing of seasons and the transition to winter plantings, Medina offers the perfect fertilizer for your gardening needs. Medina's Growing Green is an organic fertilizer derived from pasteurized poultry manure, humate, and molasses. It produces three stages of activity, including balanced nutrient supply, structure repair through soil supplementation, and nutrient availability. Your lawn, flowers, trees, vegetable garden, and potted plants will all love Medina's Growing Green. Versions of Garrett Juice are also made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your residential or commercial property, Medina is a choice I highly recommend. Ask for Medina at hardware stores, garden centers, and farm stores. Medina, a strong Dirt Doctor recommendation. For more information on everything they have to offer, go to MedinaAg.com. Medina, over 50 years of proven performance. It's MedinaAg.com.
All right, Howard, back with you, and let's see, let me finish up on that story, and then we'll go right to the phones and then back to my stuff. I went through that story fairly quickly. Those of you that are new listeners to the show, the most common question that I get, other than how do you grow grass in the shade of trees, which the answer to that is you can't. You need to ground cover or something else, and we'll talk about that in more detail. I won't just throw that off like that. But the other most common question is insects are eating my tree. I've got sapsuckers pecking holes in my tree trunk. I have mistletoe in my tree. I have something that is related to the fact that the tree's in stress, and the sick tree treatment is the answer. Right now, what's been going on in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and other places in the South, we seem to have been hit harder than anybody here with the freeze damage that we had in February when it got down to zero, even colder. And some of the trees are totally brown and dead. Some of the trees out there have foliage but are looking very sickly. Some have color that's not good. I think we're not out of the woods yet on a lot of the trees. I think some are completely dead already. I think some are going, once we get into 90 and 100 degree weather, I think we're going to see some of them turn up their toes and fall out. Some are going to be okay and just have need to have some dead trimmed out of the top of the tree. I've got trees at my house, and it's the most curious thing because in the backyard, which is totally protected with, you know, the bamboo forest and other trees, and it's kind of a contained area, is where I'm seeing the most damage. Nothing completely dead except for Indian hawthorn and some Mexican petunias got completely killed, and that was about it. But the big live oak, the big Nellie's climbing tree, the crook with the big crooked trunk that, if you haven't seen it, is in the Fabulous Trees slideshow that's right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. But it's got dead throughout the canopy, especially underneath, not out on the outside edge. It, totally different than I'm seeing as I travel around and look at other people's trees. A lot of the trees that have dead branches here and there in a tree, yet still some healthy canopy, the dead's on the outside edge. So, boy, it is still just all over the map. The consistency, and I've written about this in Dallas Morning News, and we've talked about it, but it's important to keep talking about it because we're not through with dealing with this yet. The thing that you need to do, all of you, if you have a stress that's showing in your tree, you got mistletoe in the top, sap suckers pecking holes in the trunk, especially if you've gone all the way to seeing hypoxylin canker, like the person that sent me the letter, or any insect problems, any powdery mildew, disease issues on the tree, the answer to the problem is to relieve the stress in the tree that allowed it to happen in the first place. The freeze is a kind of a different issue, but still the same answer. Apply the sick tree treatment. And the sick tree treatment spelled out in detail on dirtdoctor.com. It's under guides. It's also in the library under that specific name. And it's to remove the soil from the base of the tree and then aerate the root zone by either putting out hydrogen peroxide or mechanically aerating, and then putting out all the amendments we recommend for bed preparation: compost, organic fertilizer, rock minerals, lava sand and azomite, and those kind of things, and then sugars, the whole ground cornmeal, and molasses. And it'll take care of most of those things unless the freeze damage has just killed the tree too much. And even if the tree is still alive and just has dead areas in the top of it, I recommend highly that you do the sick tree treatment. It'll give the tree the chance to grow back out and just be perfectly fine. But don't think there aren't some trees totally killed. There's some people out there telling folks that all the trees are going to come back out, and that ain't the case. Some of them are not going to make it. The ones that are on the borderline, you're going to give them the best chance by doing the sick tree treatment. And by the way, the first step of the sick tree treatment is stop doing the things that hurt the life in the soil and the plants: high nitrogen, synthetic fertilizer, and the toxic chemical pesticides. I'm writing two new columns right now. One is on the weed control that I recommend because we're into that period where people are really starting to ask me about that, and the chemical pushers are out there saying to use the pre-emergence and the spot spraying of 2,4-D, overall spraying of 2,4-D, and all the things that not only are toxic to you, but are even more toxic to your dogs that are running around in that stuff. And then the second column I'm writing is molasses. Get a lot of questions about, can I use liquid instead of dry for this purpose and that purpose? I'm doing some nut grass control experiments with molasses. So I'm going to do a whole column just on all the different ways that you can use dry and liquid molasses. So we'll have that coming up for you. And we're going to go back to the phones for a while. Here's Sean in Carrollton, Texas, where Judy and I started our life here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What's up, Sean?
How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I'm calling about my fig tree that I've been growing. This is probably the sixth year, and I think this was going to be my first bumper crop. But I pruned the tree back this past year like you're supposed to. So after the freeze, it appears that all of the limbs and branches above ground, it appears that they're all dead. I'm getting some pretty robust greenery coming up right down at the where the tree goes into the ground.
Well, right at the flare, right at the crown
exactly.
of the plant. Yes.
Exactly. So I've got green leaves coming up through there, which says to me that there's still some life there. Nothing appears to be, getting up the limbs. I'm wondering, is it just kind of a lost cause, or, should I cut it, down to the ground, or?
Well, what do you recommend? It's not 100%, but it's about 99.999% chance that the top's dead. I'm seeing that very consistently out there. The fig tree tops have been killed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, in the North Texas area. Which is where you are. In warmer areas, it may not be the case. But if you're seeing no growth in your figs, no matter where you are out there in the top, and you're seeing that feathering out of foliage at the ground, that's a pretty certain sign that the top is dead. And the best thing to do is just cut it all down and encourage, with organic fertilizers and the sick tree treatment like I was just talking, encourage that regrowth from the ground to come up, and it'll come back and be fine. The largest fig that I've ever seen in Texas is about a block from my house, and I don't know that the owner realizes it yet, but it's dead as a doornail. But it is coming back from the ground. I think that's pretty much 100% of them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, unless they were protected with a temporary little greenhouse situation or something like that.
Yeah, well, I was afraid that was probably the case. The bad thing is, or good thing is when I originally planted the tree about 6 years ago, I actually planted it in the wrong part of the yard. So I learned my lesson there, so I'll plant another one and plant it in the right part of the yard and wait another 5 years, I guess. So.
Yeah,
anyway.
And be careful about what you mentioned about pruning. If it's mild winters, I don't recommend pruning figs too much unless they just have gotten too big for their britches and need to be kept under control a little bit. You're not going to help fig production any by pruning them. You'll have better fig production by just letting them grow.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay.
All right.
Good luck. All right. Talk to you later. Yeah, unfortunately, don't have a lot of good news about that. I have a little good news on a plant that I didn't think was going to reemerge from the ground, and that's the almond verbena. Mine at the house is not coming back yet, but the one at the office, it's more exposed. Again, scratch your head about some of these things, but the one at the office is feathering out at the ground, and it looks like it's going to come back like gangbusters, the almond verbena. Oscar in Allen, Texas, what can I do for you today?
Good morning, dear doctor. How are you?
Could not be better. What can I do for you?
Well, I wasn't better till recently. I had rats in my attic. And then I paid a pest company to, bait and then seal up the house tight and good, which where I am now. But the pest company suggested that I do something called sanitize the attic. And I asked about what that entailed. And it entailed a chemical spray of some sort. It's called D as in Dr. SV, and removing the existing insulation and replacing it anew. Now, I'm sort of timid when it comes to spraying my attic with something I know nothing about. So I guess I was looking for your guidance. I looked on your website, and I noticed that often you suggest that people use red pepper flakes, and I couldn't figure out, does that mean kitchen variety, or how does one do that? So I have three questions. The DSV spray, the removal of the of the insulation, and also the red pepper flakes. So those are my three
questions. Okay. Well, I don't have any problem with you replacing your insulation and just getting a cleaner situation up there, sanitizing it from that standpoint. I would never put a toxic chemical up there as a repellent, you know, long-term repellent, because you're going to be getting odors from that and be breathing that yourself. So we don't want to do that. The hot pepper I've used in my attics in the past when we had a whole family of raccoons to get in some years ago, and we used the hot pepper to run them out of there, and then we sealed it all up real well and kept them from getting back in there. So I think putting the hot pepper up there as a repellent will help, but the single most important thing to do is just be very careful about holes that you see develop around the eaves and things like that, and just make sure they can't easily get in there. But use any hot red pepper you can get, the hotter the better, in with the new insulation, and I think it will actually help you to a degree, okay? I'm going to put you on hold. If you had something else, I got to run for a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. Tired of pain and poor health? Well, before you operate or medicate, regenerate with Infinity Stem Cells to activate your body's internal repair system, just as I did. It's simple, safe, effective, and affordable. To learn more, call 800-341-2650. Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine, personal health, and longevity. Call 800-341-2650 or visit AchieveVitality.net.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce, and there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good, and you'll feel good, because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
Crazy water is what I drink. You should too. Crazy water is naturally alkaline with trace minerals and electrolytes for the health and body balance you need. You can buy Crazy Water at retailers across Texas or go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a nearby store. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy Water has been helping people feel better since 1881. It's so good, it's crazy. Website, drinkcrazywater.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth:
Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Our bodies depend on a potent powerhouse of beneficial bacteria that support and improve every aspect of our health. Dr. O'Hara's formula encourages probiotics to function at their peak performance. Encapsulated in a vegetarian soft gel, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a live paste of 12 strains of probiotic bacteria and nourishing prebiotics from whole fruits and vegetables. Transformative postbiotic compounds created during Dr. O'Hara's probiotics' exclusive 3-year fermentation process are present in every capsule. These restorative postbiotics nurture diverse gut bacteria, leading to better digestion, improved immunity, and exceptional health. Join the millions of people worldwide who know the power of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers nationwide and online. Go to www.essentialformulas.com for a retailer near you. That's essentialformulas.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And, just one quick finish on that conversation about the rats in the attic kind of thing. It's something we deal with. In fact, we're dealing with it right now, the roof rats, the one that we have the most issues with, and people in our same area do, because they come up from the creek in the back. And they'll do a lot of damage. The best thing, rather than baits, because baits, and sometimes you have to resort to baits, but in specific situations. But the best thing are just the live traps that are kept, you know, in protected the black boxes that they use, and have somebody monitor that over a period of time for you. That's really the best way to go. And then just not have food out that attracts them. And one of the things I've really changed my philosophy on is feeding the birds. If you have a rat problem, you really don't want to be putting out a bunch of bird seed and all, because there's no way to keep it clean enough to where it won't attract the rats, mice and rats. So what's a better way to go on feeding the birds, which is what we've gotten into, is planting more plants that have berries and seed and attractions for the birds, rather than putting out the seed and having it, you know, scattered all over the place. If you do feed, and you know, I used to recommend, don't forget to feed the birds all the time, but if you're not cleaning up really, really well, that is a significant way of attracting them to the property. So just keep that in mind, okay? Here's CJ in Lancaster, Texas. Hi, CJ.
Hello, Howard. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
Well, I had two questions here. One about my Chinese pistachio trees, and the other one is growing lavender. My Chinese pistachio trees, I got two of those and two Texas ash that I planted, oh, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago, and they've always done good until trees here. My Texas ash, they're full. They look beautiful. They're doing what they're supposed to do. However, my Chinese pistachios, and you might have touched on this, I'm just tuning in, but the tops of these trees are not, they look like they're dead. But on the bottom limbs, maybe about 7 feet up or so, 8 feet, I see where the little branches are trying to grow out.
Got some buds and some leaves trying to grow there. Well, CJ, there's a couple of things I'm seeing on Chinese pistachios. In general, if you have female trees, those are the ones that have the clusters of berries, which some people think are real pretty, but they're problematic in a couple of ways. One is that they reduce the overall health for whatever reason. I guess it makes sense. The tree's using its energy to produce those heavy masses of berries, and I see the foliage be weaker and the top growth of female pistachio trees being weaker. So that's one thing you may be dealing with. The other thing is that this freeze damage that we were talking about has created a situation where some of the pistachios that are even have foliage all over the canopy, the color's just not quite right. It's a little bit lighter color. You know, you can just feel that something, the tree's not feeling good about something. So you need to, if you haven't already, dramatically expose the flare of your trees.
And that was the thing with when I planted those trees, they were in a ball and burlap, and I couldn't untangle them. I took my chainsaw and just cut all four sides off of it and just kind of planted it kind of shallow. And I try to do that, but one of them, the flare is really dramatic, but the other one, I kind of got it. Oh, I know it has to be, it could be a little taller, you know what I mean? A higher off the ground, you know,
well, to the surface. Yeah, if you're saying that, you're thinking well, and you probably do need to do it a little bit more, and you need to do the rest of the sick tree treatment. And you can do the aeration by mixing hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store, just the regular 3% stuff, with water 50-50, or better still with Garrett juice 50-50, and just drench it throughout the root system. Do that and or mechanically aerate, poke holes in the soil, and then you put out compost and the rock minerals and the sugars. And if the tree is in stress, which sounds like it is, there's nothing that will help more than that. Now, let's go back to the Texas ashes just a minute. The Texas ash look perfectly healthy. Is that, did I get you right on that?
Yeah, they are full, and they're doing what they're supposed to do since day one. You know what I mean? It's just my,
that's great.
Yeah. Just the Chinese pistachio, just the top, and they look dead, but at the bottom, like I said, 7-8 feet up, there are, you know, there, I can see that they're budding out.
Okay. Do you remember seeing berries, the fruit on your pistachios in the past?
No.
Okay. Well, they may be males, and they could have been damaged too. I think that some of the pistachios have been. So if they're not showing foliage yet, do the sick tree treatment, the rest of it, because it'll help the soil for what you might have to plant, even if the trees don't make it. But maybe we'll be able to bring your little pistachios back. Okay?
Okay. I do appreciate it. Thank you, Howard.
Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. It is a common problem. There's no question about it. If you're last thing I need to say on this, and I may talk about it a little more when I come back, is the native Texas ash doing better than the imported Chinese pistache. I don't recommend them as much as I used to. I used to be the main guy recommending them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for sure, but kind of changed a little bit. I'll talk more about it when I get back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Be back with you right after this.